This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon from Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're speaking with Steve Bortolotti and Sherry Beaver about Peoria Players' regional premiere of Andrew Lloyd Webber's award-winning musical Sunset Boulevard. Steve and Sherry, welcome to Out and About.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Steve, let's start with you. You are directing this show. Tell us a little bit of why you wanted to direct the production and a little bit of the background of the show.
Sure. Well, first of all, the musical is based on a film from the 50s, 1950 to be exact, with Gloria Swanson and William Holden, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And then combined with Andrew Lloyd Webber music, you can't go wrong. I've been submitting this play for 6 years. But there were some contractual problems with New York that they simply weren't going to release the piece. And a couple of years ago, they finally released the rights and we snatched it up and I couldn't be happier.
For those who do know the film, are there major deviations from that version, you know, plot-wise, character-wise?
Or is it it's pretty close, almost exact in places. There's dialogue that's actually pulled from the film that's used in the lyrics of the musical.
And Sherry Beaver, you play the lead character, Norma Desmond.
Yes.
Now, you've played in your career many divas. You've played Grisabella, you've played Evita, and now you're in the role of Norma. Tell us a little bit about Norma.
Well, as Steve mentioned, the plot and story sticks very closely to that of the film. Norma is a faded silent film star. She was a huge star in her heyday, and for whatever reason, she did not make the transition into the talkies. So she has holed up in her Sunset Boulevard mansion with her faithful servant Max, and she's been working on a script that she believes is going to be not, as she says, her comeback. It will be her return.
Mm-hmm. As you say, Norma is this deeply flawed and ultimately tragic character, but you and I have worked together on stage, and do you share my opinion that sometimes those are actually the most enjoyable characters to play?
Oh, sure. You know, most actors are, believe it or not, pretty normal people. But that's the fun of doing theater, is to play someone who isn't.
Why is everyone looking at me?
Well, we would both know, wouldn't we?
Lee's Winger's cracking up over there.
So, Steve, you have a lot of experience tackling projects that are very large in scale, very large in terms of the musical score, a lot of production elements. And Sunset Boulevard has a lot of similarities to this. How do you go about bringing together a team that can really bring the audience into this time frame?
You know, this dawned on me, and maybe it should have dawned on me sooner than this, but it dawned on me just within the last couple of weeks that this is the third or fourth musical I've done that's actually operatic in scope. And I think what draws me to that is because I love music so much. I love the storytelling that music allows in a play. And you talk about an operatic tragedy. I mean, the film itself was Shakespearean and operatic in tone. But then to add Andrew Lloyd Webber's music to it, you do get a lot of overtones of Evita and other pieces that he's written, even Grisabella for that matter. And so I'm drawn to that type of challenge. Comedy is a lot of fun, you know, and I've done a lot of comic roles on stage, but it's the dramatic roles, especially combined with music, that just draws me to that. And for some reason, when I get a crew together, they're all drawn to that too. And it excites me and it challenges me, especially this piece, because technically the show is very difficult to do. There are a lot of stuff that they did in New York, on the stage in New York, in the original production in the 90s that we simply could not do with this.
Yeah, it just doesn't translate.
It doesn't. And so we had to be a little bit more creative and scale it down and concentrate more on the story and the dynamics between the characters. And I've got some really good actors who have brought those dynamics 100% on the stage.
You know, and I wonder if perhaps part of what draws directors and actors and technicians to a piece like this is that it's really a meditation on the entertainment industry. So it's about
absolutely
the fickleness of the audience
absolutely
and the price you pay for success.
When Billy Wilder made this film in 1950, it was definitely a diatribe on the Hollywood system even then.
Oh, yes.
And
Louis
B. Mayer had a few choice things to say to Billy Wilder after the premiere, which I can't repeat right now, but you can imagine the people were really angry because it was absolutely a crucifixion.
It was a skewering.
It was.
Total.
It was. But you know what? It's very true, and it's very true to life. And it's tragic, but it's also beautiful in places too, because the title Sunset Boulevard is a metaphor for the sunset of her life, but not only that, the sunset of several characters' lives in the play. And interestingly enough, the last scene takes place at sunrise. And so the play sort of comes whole circle. You didn't realize that before, did you, Sherry?
Ooh.
Right? I didn't tell you that. But it's very symbolic and very, very, a lot of colors and a lot of layers, which the cast has also brought to the table as well. They've really done a good job.
So, Sherry, tell us a little bit about the dynamic between Norma and the men in the show. So we have Max, and then we have Joe as well.
She's drawn to Joe. He is, first of all, he's young. He's handsome. And she has been missing the energy of youth in her life. So being good looking doesn't hurt either. So that draws her attention very quickly. And she grabs a hold of him before he can even think about setting foot off of her property. And her relationship with Max is a little bit different. It will be a surprise to many people, especially if they have not seen the film. Max has been with her since she was a very young woman. He has taken care of her for her virtually her entire adult life, and she might seem to disregard him sometimes, but I think she also realizes that she couldn't even get out of bed without him being around. She depends on him for everything.
You know, Norma has this sort of femme fatale quality that, you know, that there are these men who sort of become ensnared in her life and can't escape.
Yes, and Max talks about that in one of the songs. He talks about how devoted her fans were to her in her heyday. And a couple of the stories that he tells are a little creepy, frankly. Well, movie stars were the be-all and end-all, especially back in the silent film era. You know, if you were a movie star, that was probably the first manifestation of worldwide fame that people could achieve, you know, outside of governance, outside of the political arena, I would think, would be entertainment. And
right. I mean, the movies, especially in the 20s, in the golden days of the 20s, it was all about fantasy. And that holds true for Norma. She never quite escaped that fantasy world. And it's never really explained why she didn't make that transition to sound films, because there's certainly nothing wrong with her voice, like there was with something like whoever didn't make the transition to film.
Sure, some people had funny voices, some people actually couldn't act.
Right.
And there were a lot of reasons.
It was never really explained. So
we
talked about that, you know, in some of our sessions, why Norma didn't make the transition. I sort of left up to Sherry to figure out on her own, you know, what that motivation would be for her. And she does a great job.
I have a
delivering.
Pretty good idea for myself why she didn't. So.
And that's one of the things that I find so fascinating about the show, because the audience is introduced to Norma as this faded star of the silent screen era, but then they experience Norma as this very vivacious, strong leading lady with these beautiful, sweeping songs. Do you think in any sense that the audience is rooting for Norma? Do they want to see her make a comeback?
Oh, I would certainly guess. I would certainly guess so.
Yes.
Yeah. Failure is not what we hope for most people. So it's not the sort of thing that you'd like to see for someone in a position like she is. Privileged as that might be, she still has a dream and a desire, and people will buy into hoping that she achieves that.
Well, also given the fact that she's blind to the reality that she probably will never quite make that comeback. And so the audience is kind of with her on that, because there are moments in the play where she's not a very likable person. And you still want to like her because you feel sorry for her, but she's unpleasant sometimes to Joe, to Max, and to some other characters as well. So it's hard to root for her in places, and yet you still don't want to see her get hurt.
We've been talking with Steve Bortolotti and Sherry Beaver about Sunset Boulevard. The production opens tonight at Peoria Players Theater. Performances continue through Sunday the 11th. Thank you for being with us, and break a leg.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Tonight from 5 to 9 p.m., studios on Sheridan at the Sunbeam Building will be hosting an open house as part of the Chow First Fridays. The gallery will be featuring the artwork of Tim Griffin, and the music will be provided by Random Strangers. Additionally, you can visit over 25 artist studios, shop, talk to the artists, and enjoy glass-blowing demonstrations at J. Draper Glass. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.